And welcome to Woodlawn United Church this morning. We're so happy to have you with us.
Good morning. Most of you who received the email from the office this week would have gotten notice that we are running two more consultation sessions on behalf of the Community of Faith Profile Committee. One on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock in Room A, one on Thursday at 1 o'clock in Room A and B. Or B, I think it will be. There is still space in both of those, and that may be the last two sessions that we have. So if you're holding out to be one of the last ones to speak to us, Wednesday or Thursday is your time. So just give me a call or drop me a line or whatever you need to do to let me know, and we'll make sure that we're not overly crowded. Thank you.
Well, we have some announcements. First of all, we want to extend Christian sympathies to Jean and Ron Mitchell on the death of Jean's sister, Agnes Burns. And we also want to let you know that the celebration of life for Kelly Watson Schutz is at 11 a.m. on Saturday, March 7th. So this coming Saturday at 11. So this coming Thursday is TGIT. We have Linda Hallett, who is going to come and share with us about the stories about people who she met during her work in Uganda. She's been in Uganda a number of times. She has volunteered over the years with different organizations, but she mainly has been supporting the grandmothers who are raising their grandchildren, because that whole generation of people, a lot of them have died because of the AIDS epidemic, and so it leaves this gap in ages. And so she's been there working with healthcare and education and different things, and she's got some really touching stories. And so hopefully there'll be a lot of people who come out, especially because it took us hours and hours to figure out how to show her little video clips because they were in a format I couldn't use. So anyway, come on out. That's on Thursday, March the 5th at 7 p.m. It's in rooms A and B, and everybody's invited. Bring your neighbors. It's going to be a great, very moving talk.
And then the following Thursday, there will be a TGIT on heaven. So it's like, let's talk about heaven. So we'll get some information on that from the Bible, from a couple of books that I've been reading, and then have a great discussion on it. So that will be at 2 p.m. from 2 to 4 on Thursday, March 12th.
So we want to welcome you if you are visiting for the first time here at Woodlawn. And there is a welcome package that's available out at the welcome table. Do we have a welcome ambassador today? Here we go. See the nice flag at the back. If you're visiting or new or just want some information, follow Darlene and the flag after worship, and she can answer your questions or give you a tour, introduce you to some people. And so hopefully you'll take her up on that.
Mm-hmm. This is also Food Bank Sunday, so...
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. So. Thank you, Ian. No, it has to go on that side. The choir can't get through. Come on now. We're building a mountain of food right here.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Thank you. Yeah. Yep, so there'll be a little celebration a little bit later, and we'll talk about this in
we
the
will.
Service.
So, birthdays, celebrations, things we want. Julia, whose birthday is it? Your birthday. That's right. Yeah. You had 3 days of celebration, now it's done. Ian.
Dad's 80th birthday.
Wow. Dad's 80th birthday. Happy birthday. And Donica and Julia share a birthday. That's right. Back here.
Norma. Right? Norma's birthday
is... Is your birthday?
Today.
Today.
Yeah.
Wow.
Happy birthday.
Okay, Brian. Don Trider's birthday on Monday. Over here, yep. Will. Your nanny and granddad's 55th anniversary. Congratulations to Terry. Mm-hmm. Way down in the back. Your birthday's on March 5th, and you and I are birthday twins.
March 5th.
Aren't we? We share our birthday. It's so exciting. We found that out last week.
Yep.
Aaron? Double digits. I saw the reenactment of the first day you were home on Facebook. It was very cute. You're much bigger now. 86. Wow.
Awesome. Big celebration.
You did have a birthday. That
on
is
Thursday
correct.
Past.
You and Ruth and Dawn Hill all had birthdays on that
on
day.
Thursday.
Some of you haven't stood up. Ruth, I didn't see your hand back there.
On February
27th. Yeah. Okay.
Awesome.
Shallon turned 40.
This past Thursday.
Yep. And it was Shelley's birthday today.
Shelley
Klee's birthday, our office administrator. So, any other birthdays?
March 5th.
Joe's birthday is on March 5th. It's a good day, March 5th. 69. Wow.
Wow.
Any others?
Don't want to miss any.
Okay, we better sing really loud because there's so many.
Congratulations to you.
So together we're going to say our statement of reconciliation. I will start and you will repeat where it says all. As we gather in this place, we remember with gratitude that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territories of the Mi'kmaq.
May we live with respect on this land and in peace and friendship with its people.
And now let's just take a moment to center ourselves and prepare ourselves for worship as we sing, Take, O Take Me As I Am. Do we stand up for the call to worship? No.
Unless you ask us to.
Okay, we're not going to. I don't usually do this. I can't always remember. So let's join together in our call to worship. Lent is the beginning for God's chosen one.
The beginning of Lent reminds us of the soul-rendering temptation of Jesus.
Lent is a time for personal challenge.
The season of Lent calls us to carefully consider the direction of our life.
Lent is a time of faith community reflection.
We consider our church, its values, its aims, and its faithfulness.
Lent is a time to focus on Jesus.
We remember his wonderful ministry and look ahead to the looming cross as we worship God.
We will now sing from More Voices. The words will be on the screen. Number 150, Spirit God, Be Our Breath.
Thank you.
seated. It might be a little bit difficult to see the Christ candle today behind this mountain of food, but I think that that would make Christ pretty happy. Lent is a journey of deepening reflection and renewal, and an opportunity for us to make new commitments in faith. We prepare for the journey by setting aside burdens that would weigh us down. We light this Christ candle to remind us that even in the darkest of times, Christ's light shines. Let us take a moment of sacred silence to prepare ourselves to worship God. God, open our hearts so that we can see your presence with us in this place. Open our minds that we may hear you today in this worship. Amen. And as we join together in singing Christ Be Our Light, I invite any young people to come forward for story time. Good morning. How are you all doing today? Good. I want to tell you that a little bit later on, there's going to be a story from the Bible read. And it's a story about a time that Jesus went out to the desert for 40 days with no food and no drink, just him and all the heat and all the sand and none of the water. And so the devil tempted him and said, "Hey, Jesus, psst, why don't you turn these rocks into bread if you're so hungry?" And then he said, "Hey, Jesus, psst, look out there. I can give you power over all these things if you just bow down and worship me." So he kind of made him a promise, right? Okay, we're going to stop there on that story. Story number two. I was at the dollar store the other day, and I found this. It's a shark.
It looks like a dolphin.
It kind of looks like a dolphin, but it's not. It says right there, shark. It does look like a dolphin, but look at the picture. Where are his teeth? I know. Anyway, it's a dolphin shark. Let's just agree on that. And it says right up here, it kind of makes us a promise. Do you know what it says? It says it's going to grow up to 600% its size. So if you put it in your bathtub, I used to get these sometimes when I was a kid, and I put them in my bathtub, fill it with water, and you have to leave it there for 72 hours or something crazy. And then, 72 hours. And then it grows and grows and grows. How big do you think it gets if it gets 600% bigger?
The size of
me? The size of me? That's a good guess. Yeah? That'd be cool. What? You think it might pop? It might get so big that it would explode? Oh, that would be even cooler. I mean, your parents might get mad if your bathroom gets covered. Gets so big it would come to life? It does.
It's a lie. It's a lie. It's 600%.
You think it's a lie for sure?
600%
is impossible? You don't think so? Okay. So I want you to know that I did it this week. I put it in water for more than 72 hours just to be sure it could grow as big as it could. And if you go to my bathroom right now, you will not find an exploded shark dolphin. But I did bring him with me. He did grow. Here he is.
See? He's barely bigger.
Barely bigger. Well, let's see. This is how big he is. Well, he got bigger.
But why is it not the same color as the other one?
I think when he stretched out, his color got lighter.
He looks just a little
This is as big as he gets. He's still hard, though. Feel him. He's still very rubbery. You could pass him around. I didn't want to take him out of the water early because I figured you guys might say, well, he shrank on my way here. So I wanted to be sure you knew he was in the water the whole time. So I don't know if that's 600% bigger. I'm going to guess it's not. But sometimes we get told something and the reality of it is not as good. The reality, and he also smells very plasticky. And so the reality of it is not as good as what you think, right? So it says, hey, you can get this, it's going to get giant, it's going to fill your bathtub. But it doesn't, right? Because it's a promise. And the promise maybe lies
maybe,
a little.
Maybe a baby bathtub,
maybe a doll bathtub, a Barbie bathtub maybe.
Yeah.
It might fill that. And so I think that some promises that we think will come true, they don't really turn out as good as you think they're going to. So, for example, when Jesus was told by the devil in that story that you can have power over all of this, Jesus didn't do it. But if he did, it probably wouldn't have really been as good a promise as you think it would be. Right? And I think that, I don't know. And, you know, sometimes I think that we believe promises, like, for example, if I get the next best iPhone, I'm going to be happy and I'm never going to be sad again. That kind of promise doesn't really live up to it either. Or have any of you ever looked at, like, the best looking dessert ever and you're like, this is going to taste, oh, I have another story, very, very briefly. When I was 5 years old, my sister was baptized. And she had, I know, I've lived a long time though, so, you know, it'll soon be 48 years. I know, but this one's good, trust me. So a cake, and you know those roses that are made out of icing? And so, on a cake, the roses, yeah. And so this one had two baby booties that were booty size, icing on the cake. And my mother told us that if we behaved in church, she would give us the icing booties. And we were so excited. So we behaved as best as we could. I mean, honestly, it probably wasn't that good. But afterwards, she gave us the booties. And I bit into this big icing booty. But guess what? It was filled with styrofoam. It only had a little bit of icing on the outside. So it seemed like that promise was going to be really good. But it wasn't. And I think she didn't know. She didn't know she thought it was icing. She didn't make it. And so I think there's lots of promises like that. There's promises that if we do this one thing, we'll be happy. If we eat this dessert, you'll never eat anything as good as that again. Or we can find meaning or happiness in things, right? In what we own or how hard we work. But really, I think what Jesus, one of the messages that we get from that story about Jesus is that the real promises, the promises that always come true and the promises that actually bring us happiness and meaning are from God. Those are the promises that don't lie. Those are the promises that are the most important. Like that God always loves us. That is a promise. No matter what we do, God always loves us. No matter who we are, no matter how bad you think you are or what you did, God always loves you. That's true. Sometimes you could do something bad and it will actually turn out good in the end. Or something good might come out of it.
Like yesterday, I thought it was bad because you got a whole bucket of water.
You got a whole bucket of water yesterday.
And I dumped it on the ground.
Yeah, and you put it on the ground.
No, I poured the water on the ground.
You poured the water on the ground.
And then I had to dry it all off.
How did that end up being good?
Clean floor.
Clean floor. There we go. And you got paid for cleaning the floor. So let's say, we're going to say a prayer, and then we're going to go to Sunday school, and anybody in grade 6 and up can come out to youth group, and under 6, out to Sunday school. Let's say a prayer. Dear God, help us to trust in your promises. not in fake ones. Amen. Okay. We're going to sing our traveling song as we go. See you later, guys.
Let us pray. God of Exodus and wilderness, God of refuge and help, hear us now as we make our confession to you. In times of temptation, we forget. Okay, this is not the prayer that I prepared. I think that's the one we did at Ash Wednesday. Is that right? I'll just pray the one that I have in my notes. In times of temptation, we forget what you have done for us. You give us everything we need, yet we often remain unsatisfied. You trust us to care for creation, yet we often abuse that trust and spoil what we have been given. You show us the way we are to follow, yet we often continue on the path of self-indulgence and self-centeredness. Forgive us, we pray. We ask for your direction, your patience, your love. In the name of Jesus Christ, who, in spite of his temptations, was faithful to your saving word. Amen. God accepts every repentant heart and works in us by the power of the Holy Spirit to make us altogether new. We are a forgiven people. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
After the children's story, I wasn't sure I actually had to read the scripture. I think you've got it down pat. However, the scripture lesson this morning is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, entitled The Temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear up you, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. He said to him, "All of these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Bless the words that come from my mouth and the meditation that comes from all of our hearts. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. We have begun the season of Lent. Now, you heard quite a bit about it from Shannon, but I have a few things that might add in a little extra information. The season of Lent begins with Ash Wednesday, which was this past Wednesday, February 26th. And Ash Wednesday is day one of the 40 days leading up to Easter. But that's not counting Sundays. We think of Lent as a journey of deepening reflection and renewal, an opportunity to make new commitments in faith. So we prepare for the journey by setting aside any burdens that would weigh us down. Now that's one thing Shannon said, and that's very important. And we turn to God, confessing our sin, knowing that because of God's grace, we have full forgiveness through Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, we read that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. When Jesus comes up out of the water, the Holy Spirit, in the shape of a dove, comes down from the sky and alights on Jesus. And a voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This anointing of the Holy Spirit has filled Jesus with God's power and immediately leads him up and away from the Jordan River into the Judean wilderness. It's during this time of solitude in the desert, lasting 40 days and 40 nights, that Jesus fasts, communes with God through prayer, and prepares himself for his 3-year ministry. Now, one of my commentaries suggests that the number 40 is used in the Bible to express a significant but limited period of time. So, not necessarily 40 days and 40 nights. It's used often in Old Testament stories, such as Noah's Ark, Moses on the mountain with the Ten Commandments, Elijah's journey in the desert to the mountain of God, and the 40 years that the Israelites spent wandering in the desert. So, it's this 40-day journey in the desert where Jesus turns inward, casting his burdens and cares onto God, knowing God to be trustworthy. But Jesus is still human too. At the end of this time, he's famished and tired. Yet there's still the time of temptation to come.
In this weakened state, Jesus must face the devil and pass three tests. And each time he is tempted by Satan, Jesus answers with great confidence by quoting scripture. The word of God is simply a part of him, deep down in his heart, because as a child and throughout his life, he studied the Jewish scriptures. Jesus understands the only way he can be victorious over the devil is to know the scriptures and have those words come to him when he needs them most. It's also interesting to note that the scriptures Jesus quoted are all from Moses' time when the Israelites were wandering in the desert. We can read them in the book of Deuteronomy. Each scripture has one common theme: God. God is the focal point every time. Here they are in the order Jesus quoted them. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. By every word that comes from the mouth of God. I would call that the saving word. Jesus is saying God comes first. And even before we feed ourselves, even if we're practically starving, as Jesus was at that time, God comes first. Perhaps that's one reason we say grace before we eat. The next scripture, do not put the Lord your God to the test. If Jesus had flung himself off the pinnacle of the temple, expecting God to save him because he's God's son, Jesus would have been forcing God's hand. Instead of being humble, waiting for God's voice to direct him, he would have been forcing God to save him. That's not God's way. We cannot force God to do what we want. And lastly, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Again, God comes first. Our love of God is shown in public worship services and in private devotional time. Each time Jesus was tempted, he did not use his power to help himself, save himself, or glorify himself. Like Jesus, we should never use what power we have for ourselves. We should always use it to help others, because this is what God desires. So, in this scripture passage, Jesus is showing us that God should be the most important part of our lives. Jesus passes the three tests and the devil leaves. And then God's angels come to renew and refresh him, so he'll be ready to call his first disciples and begin his ministry. Not a ministry where the Holy Spirit's power is used to glorify Jesus or make him king of the Jews to fight the Roman Empire by military force, but to help and heal people. His was a ministry aimed to bring people back to God without force, but with grace, humility, and dignity. And it happened through his wise words and actions, based solely on God's loving and forgiving ways. The 40 days and nights in the desert were a time of testing and preparation for the ministry Jesus was about to begin, for the mission that God had sent him to accomplish. His desert time was also a way for Jesus to prove that he loved God more than anything else, that God did come first. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 6, Moses tells the people the great commandment, the one that matters more than all the rest. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Above all, that's what Jesus was proving when he went on his wilderness journey of faith, with its struggles, difficulties, and temptations. Jesus concentrated on God alone, on talking to God, listening to God, and finally giving over his own will to God. In other words, obeying God. We know for us today that means loving God, telling others about God's love, and working for justice and peace. But Jesus turned inward to prepare for this. He needed solitude and much time in prayer, as well as God's words of scripture in his heart. He obeyed God and never wavered from God's side. He sought God the entire time he was in this wilderness state. Even though he turned inward so he could fully concentrate on communing with God, he knew that he would be amongst people again. His ministry needed to reach as many people as possible. But first, he had to prepare, and that was a time of being with God alone. It was imperative that he go through this time in the wilderness in order to prove to himself and to God that he was ready for the task at hand. We have our own times of wilderness, and of course, they're going to be very different from what Jesus experienced. We have our own desert times, but are they times of testing? Maybe. Do we stay strong in our faith in times of struggle? Or do we blame God and turn away? God's word can be the comfort and strength we need to pull us through our struggles. Word with a capital W is another name for Jesus Christ. So if we plant the word of God in our hearts, we have essentially put Jesus there. No matter where we are or what we're going through, Jesus Christ is with us. Always a friend in Jesus. We are not alone. And we never will be alone because Jesus will walk with us throughout this entire journey right into the next life. Because Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection 3 days later, through this we have God's promise of new life in heaven, where we'll be whole once again. No more trials and temptations. No more tears or mourning. These words of promise are from our loving God. Perhaps God's trying to say something right now. God's saving word. God's word is also scripture and is helpful when it's memorized, so it will come to mind when we need it most. I think that's what I loved about Sunday school when I was little. Most people would say they didn't, but every week we were given a small scripture to take home and read, and my mother helped me learn this over and over, and then I'd go back and we'd recite it. And now these words come to mind when you need it. So when we need it, it's when we're, sometimes when we're in trouble, when we're struggling, when we're sad, when we're angry. God's word will rise to the surface to calm us, give us hope and direction. And it will give us God's peace. So a little bit of advice, study the word. You'll be surprised how often it comes to mind and all of a sudden, you realize that the Holy Spirit is working to guide you, help you, calm you, and give you strength. Recently, during my daily devotional reading, I read about a man who was going through serious health issues, but he remained calm and not fearful when he was given his cancer diagnosis. He was filled with certainty that he was in God's hands, and that God had a plan. He said that for the 40 years of his Christian life, and I'm not kidding, the number was actually 40, he had lived by these words from the Bible. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. That's from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Those were the saving words that would carry him through stem cell transplants and 8 months of chemotherapy. Now, I can just imagine him repeating those words over and over as he went through his wilderness time of intense chemotherapy treatments. From those words, he gained the strength and endurance he needed to make it through. He could have been tempted to give in to depression, to give up on his faith, to be angry and blame God for his ill health and the struggles of his desert time. But he put God first. He chose to trust God to lead him through. He followed in Jesus' footsteps, and when temptation came, God's saving word came to mind. Those two verses pulled him through, even giving him the strength to write 2 blogs every day to encourage others, especially through his 1,000 poems and songs. His faith remained strong. So our 40 days leading up to Easter are a time of turning inward, a time where we strive to put God first. We can do this by making a commitment to enhance our faith. One way is to add more intentional time with God, perhaps by reading a daily devotional like the Upper Room that points you to a few verses of Scripture. Memorizing Scripture is helpful, just easy verses that would help in times of distress. I like Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Your time alone with God doesn't have to be for 40 days and 40 nights. In fact, we'd really miss you here at church if you stayed away that long. I'm only suggesting about 10 to 15 minutes a day. If you already do that, then maybe increase it a little bit. Whatever works for you, as long as you add it into your day. Adding prayer at the beginning of your time and giving thanks to God at the end would also be good. Seeking God, renewing your mind through Scripture, and talking to God are the things that refresh you and help you make this journey of faith with Christ. Perhaps by the end of Lent, you'll be so refreshed and renewed that you'll decide to continue your Lenten practice all year long. Remember God first. Spending time with God is always a good thing. Whether we're in a desert time or not, God's loving presence through Jesus Christ will prepare us for the days to come. As the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Thanks be to God for Jesus, the saving word, who showed us the way. Amen.
Morning. While Pat and Weldon and Kathy are making their way up, just a brief word about one of the very, very valuable and precious services we have here in the community, centered here at Woodlawn United Church in our Heritage Center, and that's the East Christian Dartmouth Food Bank. The food bank is comprised of a number of churches in the area, the Anglican, the Roman Catholic, Baptist, and the United Church of Canada. And we are proud and pleased and privileged to be able to host the food bank here in our Heritage Center, where many of you have visited, I'm sure. If you haven't, I encourage you to drop over sometime. But every Thursday throughout the year, with the minor exception of Christmas Day or around the Christmas time, there is food being provided to the needy in the community. And if you've ever had the privilege of, or the opportunity to work in the community by providing to people in need, it is a rewarding and very worthwhile experience to be able to go over to the food bank and see the wonderful work that is being done over there each and every week. And as you know, we have Food Bank Sunday, first Sunday of each month, where you, the congregation, are invited to bring food that is taken to the food bank to be given out on those Thursdays when people are coming to get food that they are in need. And one of the things that many people don't know, although many people do, is that the person who has been the leading force for the food bank in this community for almost three decades, almost 30 years, has been Pat and Weldon Rodenizer. Pat has been the CEO of the East Dartmouth Christian Food Bank for several years, just retiring in January of this year. And as a member of our congregation, we are so proud. Yeah, fix her hair. We are so very proud to have Pat and Weldon in our midst and call them members of our congregation. They have so ably represented the values and the virtues of Woodlawn United Church for so many years, working tirelessly, mostly in the background. I've had the privilege of knowing Pat for many years. I knew Pat long before I ever met her in person, because whenever a food bank or anything to do with food bank or needy was mentioned in this community, Pat Rodenizer and Weldon's name were always the ones that came to the surface. And we are so very, very proud and pleased to have them. And we thought that it'd be appropriate that on this, the first Sunday in March, which is Food Bank Day, that we provide some kind of an outward and visible honoring of the work that these two have done in this community on behalf of Woodlawn United Church. We have two other representatives on the board at the East Christian Dartmouth Food Bank, the East Dartmouth Christian Food Bank, and Brian Moores and Evelyn Weber. And we are very active in this organization and proud to be that way. So Pat and Weldon, we are so pleased to have you here this morning and to have you recognized for the work that you have done all these years on behalf of the congregation and indeed on behalf of the community. We know that God's work is done through the hands of many people, and these two people have done more than their share of God's work here in this community, and for that we are eternally grateful. And I would invite you now to show your appreciation for that. But one of the things that we would like to present is a pin, the most recent emblem of the United Church of Canada, which we would like them to have and to wear proudly whenever they are out in a boat, and just to demonstrate that they are members of the Woodlawn, of the United Church of Canada, and of Woodlawn Church as well. We also have prepared a little certificate that we would like Kathy to present to Weldon and Pat, and I'll ask Kathy to read the certificate if you don't mind.
This is a certificate of appreciation from Woodlawn United Church, and it's awarded to Pat and Weldon Rodenizer for almost three decades of outstanding support of the outreach program at Woodlawn United Church. You have participated beyond most expectations, and your volunteer hours go beyond anything that most of us will even be able to contribute. So thank you so much for all of your contributions and to all of your hard work and your volunteer hours.
And as you know, we have just recently added a new addition to this church of ours, and the accessibility project has been very steeped in our minds and over the years. And when we were putting the addition on, we have the outside exterior covered with bricks, and we have started a program of having those bricks, same bricks, engraved and placed on a wall out in our entryway. And one of the walls that we have out there is the Wall of Honor. And we, Pat and Weldon, are going to have a brick engraved with your name and placed on that Wall of Honor as a constant reminder and memory of both of your contribution here in this community, to show that how well preserved you are in this community. So Kathy has a noteworthy invisible symbol of that, and there's a brick that has a sticker on it that will be replaced by engraving, and that will be engraved sometime in the next several months, and we'll have that placed on the wall in your honor. Pat, you and Weldon have been so instrumental in the food bank here, and we would like to have this demonstration of a wall of food behind you that the congregation has so gracefully brought in your honor, that will be taken over to the food bank following our service. So this is for you, just as an indication of how much we appreciate all the work that you have done for us here. So the food has been brought today, and of course we bring food every month, and that's an ongoing reminder of how much work and how valuable the work you have done in this community to establish a food bank here in our presence. So thank you once again. And before I finish, I just want to tell everybody that there will be cake downstairs after the service. So please join us downstairs for a celebratory piece of cake. And once again, Pat and Weldon, thank you so much for your work in this community, and thank you for being members of our congregation.
29 years has been a long time, but I've enjoyed 99% of the time. And I wish to thank everybody that volunteered for me and all that they have done for me, because without them, I could not have done what I have done. That's not very good English. But anyway, thank you all so very, very much, and please remember everything and help out at the food bank. I will be in the background wanting to know how things are going. Thank you very much.
It's not by magic, but through the generosity of God's people that stones become bread. It's not by gathering power to ourselves, but through serving others, like working, volunteering at the food bank, that we find the purpose of our lives. And it's not by upfront guarantees, but through trusting and risking that we live faithfully. Let us give God thanks for these wilderness lessons that bring light and life to others as well as ourselves. The offering will now be received.
Holy God, we bring forward the ordinary things of life for your blessing, food, drink, and money. In bringing them, we bring ourselves, that you may change all of it, all of us, to be of service, near home and far away. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now let us say a new creed together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Creating and forgiving God, we praise you and thank you for your eternal loving Spirit, always accepting us no matter what we do, always continuing to give us your unconditional love through all our trials and temptations. Too often we drift away from you as we get caught up in the busyness of life. Remind us, we pray, to look to you in our times of wilderness, where day-to-day struggles often dominate our lives. Help us to find our way back into the loving arms of Jesus, who is always with us, ready to guide us through our difficulties as we continue our journey. Jesus Christ is our saving word. We offer our thanks for the blessings you have given to us, this glorious creation with its changing seasons, the blessings of loving relationships, and the wise words of Jesus to guide those relationships. And we have the blessings of knowing your strength and comfort through your Holy Spirit. Healing God, during this Lenten season, we remember and pray for those who are impoverished by today's world, those known to us, and those known only to you, those who are living in abusive relationships, those who are desperate, lonely, or afraid. At this time, O God, we ask you to surround the international community of L'Arche in your loving care as they grieve the news about Jean Vanier. Continue to pour your courage and grace on the 6 women who Vanier sexually abused. Grant the communities the strength to continue to be a sign, even during this dark time, of radical inclusion, light, and truth-telling. We ask you to bless them with your healing warmth and to give them eyes to see you as their hope. We pray for China and all parts of the world suffering with the coronavirus. Please help the medical profession in their fight against this virus. We also pray for right relations between all peoples, especially those in our own country. And we pray for all nations to govern with integrity and justice. We thank you, God most holy. And now, loving God, we pray for those in our own community who are ill, grieving, or struggling. Surround them with your healing essence. Silently or aloud, we name those on our hearts. Vivian. We lift up these dear ones into your care as we say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our final hymn is from Voices United 113, and the words on the screen, "To the desert Jesus came." May God bless and keep us as we journey through this Lenten season. And may the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit be with us always, guiding us to seek Jesus and Scripture, God's saving word, to be with us during our wilderness times. Amen.